Just because men make Bitcoin seem technical and complicated doesn't mean that it is. Think about it. As that TikTok audio goes.
And I said, well, how hard can it be? Boys do it. And then I said, how hard can it be? Boys do it.
This series will compare Bitcoin and its processes to things you use in your everyday life, like purses, Uber, checks, and even Costco. Everyone can understand how it works and what it does, because Bitcoin isn't just for the bros, it's for the broads. Part 1, the problems it solves. What is Bitcoin in cryptocurrency anyway? Well, Bitcoin is for anyone who feels that the current financial system is too cumbersome and wants something easier, freer, more secure. Before we talk about the problems that Bitcoin solves, let's first get a grasp on the nomenclature. You've probably heard the word cryptocurrency tossed around in tandem with Bitcoin. What's the difference? Well, cryptocurrency is the generic term for digital or virtual currency that is secured by cryptography. Cryptography is just a $10 word that means it's almost impossible to counterfeit. It also means it can't be double spent, which is when you buy something in one place and then try to use that money to buy something else before the transaction is verified. This is impossible in the fiat currency that we have now, paper money. You can't do that with a dollar bill because it's physical, a tangible object. Once you spend it, it's gone. In short, cryptocurrency is the broad category of all digital currencies. Specifically, it uses blockchain technology on a peer-to-peer basis. More on what those things mean a little bit later. Bitcoin is then just a certain type of cryptocurrency. Let's think of this in simpler terms. You might say you put your personal items into a purse. However, when you say you put your items into a Louis Vuitton, everyone knows what you mean. It's a purse, but it's a brand name purse. You don't have to say purse, it's implied. And just like the purse industry, digital currencies have a wide array of value. You might have a purse you got from Target, one from Aldo, a Kate Spade, or a Louis Vuitton. Each one is worth a different amount of money. Each brand has a different perceived price based on the value the consumers give it. For example, your Target purse may have cost $20, while your Louis Vuitton may cost $3,000. They both hold your personal items, but are worth different amounts. Likewise, cryptocurrency comes in all different brands. Their current value fluctuates, just like the stock market, depending on what they're worth each day. The amount they're worth in U.S. dollars is called the trading price. The name brand, top tier, most elite, the very first cryptocurrency ever created is Bitcoin. That's the sexy one, the one everyone talks about. Right now, one Bitcoin is worth more than $60,000. It is the Louis Vuitton of cryptocurrency. Ethereum is the second most valuable cryptocurrency, and it has a much lower price point, around $3,000. It's the Kate Spade. The third most valuable is Tether, which is going for about a dollar. Perhaps think of that as the Aldo purse. Further down the list of cryptocurrency brands is Cardano, which is trading at just 50 cents. That would be your Target purse. Other cryptocurrencies use similar technology and processes as Bitcoin. However, for this podcast series, we're going to specifically look at Bitcoin, since it's the most popular. Inflation and centralized power. Bitcoin was born back in January of 2009. It was created by someone or some group of developers going by the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto. Bitcoin was introduced via a 2008 paper titled Bitcoin, a peer-to-peer electronic cash system. If you're having trouble sleeping, I'd recommend reading that. If you take away all the technical jargon, there are two main reasons Bitcoin is so sexy. It has no central authority, and it's completely inflation-free. So, what does it mean to have no central authority? Well, in our current economy, everything is controlled by the Federal Reserve. They're the ones that print the money, they set the interest rates, and determine monetary policy. It is a private bank that works in tandem with the federal government. Don't believe me? Listen to this clip of former Treasury Secretary Alan Greenspan explaining the role of the Federal Reserve.
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take. So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter.
Bitcoin disrupts this concept of central banking, opting for decentralization. That's a buzzword you'll probably hear a lot when people talk about Bitcoin. Instead of trusting that the government and Federal Reserve will effectively manage economic and fiscal policy, Bitcoin empowers the everyday man or woman to be responsible for it themselves. Bitcoin functions on a peer-to-peer network, so no intermediary or third party is needed, just you and the other person you're transacting with. Without that central authority, there's more power to us as the users instead of the person who pulls the string at the top. And this isn't just for America. Bitcoin is used all around the world for people who want to get out of the central banking and the central power structure and engage in the economy on their own terms. Although we have the constitutional authority here in the U.S. to print our own money, we gave this away in 1913 under President Woodrow Wilson. He created the Federal Reserve. Since then, the U.S. has essentially lost its economic power and given it to a private bank. If we printed our own money as a country, we wouldn't be paying interest on our debt. The story of the Federal Reserve is another story for another day, a very long story. But for now, just understand that the Federal Reserve is the central authority. I used a term a few minutes ago called peer-to-peer network, and it may seem confusing. But all it means is that two individuals are able to buy and sell goods directly to each other. There's no middleman or company that controls all the means of production or labor. You've likely engaged in a transaction involving a peer-to-peer business model before. Take, for example, Uber and Lyft. They eliminate the need for taxi companies and the high prices that they have. You need a ride? You use an app and connect directly to someone with a car and some spare time. You need to hire someone for a job? Fiverr and Upwork connect you with ready and willing employees without the need of a recruiter or HR department. You want some food delivered? Get on DoorDash or TaskRabbit. Someone with some spare time and looking to make a few bucks will bring you that Whopper right to your front door. You have some collectibles or some handmade items you want to sell. eBay and Etsy lets you connect directly with your buyer. You want to travel without the fuss and extra fees of some big hotel company? Airbnb and Home2Go connect renter to landlord. So think of Bitcoin along these same terms. You may want to pay for some good or service. You could go to a bank, but there's lots of inconveniences that come with this. For example, the bank needs to be open when you want to use it. Outside of 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, you're going to have to wait. And if it's a holiday, you could have to wait over a 3-day weekend to get your money. There are rules that require you to fill out paperwork. If you take out more than $10,000 in one visit, there are transfer fees and transfer limits, and all this information is somehow or the other going to get sent to the government. Banks tell you how much to have in your account to get free checks and how long you have to keep money in your savings. Banks can make it difficult to cash checks if they want by claiming that it's unfamiliar. If it's a large check, they'll likely need approval from higher up. If you withdraw a large amount of money, they'll likely tell you, hey, you got to place an order because we don't have enough cash here at the bank. Maybe you don't trust financial institutions. We saw bank failures last year, several of them. Then there was the financial collapse of 2008. Think about the ability of banks to monitor your purchases. Bank of America was recently found to be closing accounts that were flagged as MAGA or Trump supporters. And in Canada, people had their accounts frozen for attending the Freedom Convoy protest a few years ago. The reasons to not trust the government, the Federal Reserve, and your bank are endless. With Bitcoin, the central authority is dismantled and decentralized. Everyone who owns Bitcoin in any amount owns a small piece of this network. No central bank like the Federal Reserve is needed. There's no pesky teller or banker to try to make you feel like you can't get your money out. All of your transactions are conducted between you and another person and this independent third party who verifies the transaction. But that third party is the Bitcoin network, and it's just other users like yourself. All of this adds up to another primary feature that Bitcoin users love: privacy. Why does your banker or the government need to know what you're doing? They don't. And now with Bitcoin, they don't have to. The second incentive to use Bitcoin is that it's inflation-proof. Bitcoin is the first currency in history to have a 0% terminal inflation rate. That means no inflation will ever occur with Bitcoin. How is this possible? You might have heard that inflation is part of a healthy economy. Well, inflation is simply just the increased cost of goods over a certain amount of time. While inflation happens a little at a time, and a little at a time, and a little at a time, sometimes it makes huge leaps. You and I have experienced this firsthand over the last couple of years. In 2021, we experienced the highest inflation in more than 40 years. Go to the grocery store and you'll feel that inflation. Everything costs more than it did just a few years ago. How did this happen, especially so suddenly? Well, the government prints money to solve its problems. During the COVID pandemic, the government decided to do quantitative easing, which is another $10 word for just printing money. Our relief packages for COVID totaled more than $5 trillion. That's more than the entire cost of World War II. And more than 20% of all U.S. dollars in circulation were printed in 2021. When more money is added to the supply, it lowers the value of the dollar, thus requiring more money to buy the same goods as before, thus the higher prices at the grocery store. Let's look at a historical example for more insight. The Roman government used gold and silver coins for money. These precious metals had value, plus there was a limited supply of them. The government needed more money, so they began melting down the coins and using these little pieces to create even more coins. They did this repeatedly. This cheapened the value of coins and thus caused inflation. We're doing the same thing in the United States. Our paper dollar bills used to be backed by gold. That meant every bill was worth a certain amount of gold, just like how the Romans backed their coins by putting gold inside of them. The practice of backing our currency with gold is commonly referred to as the gold standard. Then in 1933, during the Great Depression, the Emergency Banking Act allowed the government to seize all gold, forcing Americans to trade it in for U.S. dollars. It was illegal for Americans to own or buy gold, unless you were the government, of course. This was an attempt by FDR to stop the outflow of gold during the Great Depression. In 1971, President Nixon completely abandoned the gold standard. Our dollar was no longer backed by gold. Then, in 1974, after more than 40 years of prohibition, Americans were once again allowed to own gold. How did all of this shake loose for the dollar? Well, since the Federal Reserve was formed back in 1913, the dollar has lost more than 90% of its value. For example, in 1913, you could buy 30 chocolate bars for a buck. Today, a dollar might get you a coffee at McDonald's. The dollar suffered during the Great Depression, but getting off the gold standard is what really killed the buck. Since the dollar bill wasn't backed by anything, you could make as much of it as you wanted. Printing money to fix all of our fiscal crises became the new normal. There was the dot-com bubble, the 2008 financial collapse, and the COVID pandemic, just to name a few. Herbert Hoover, who was president before FDR, was quite the prophet about this topic when he said, quote, "We have gold because we cannot trust governments." Just because inflation hasn't went completely unhinged yet doesn't mean that it won't. Currency is an important part of any society, and the more you make, the more it retaliates. Take, for example, the crisis in Zimbabwe. The country is on its sixth attempt at a new currency since 2008. Yes, their sixth attempt. The country's central bank introduced a new gold-backed currency called Zimbabwe Gold, or ZIG, to try and curtail a seven-month inflation high of 55%. And you thought we had it bad here. In fact, just the value of the Zimbabwe dollar this year tanked nearly 80%. It's so worthless that around 80% of the country conducts transactions using U.S. dollars. So what makes Bitcoin so great then? Well, it's inflation-proof. When it was created, the supply of Bitcoins available could never be more than 21 million Bitcoins. Since a supply can never increase beyond that limit, there will be no devaluing of the Bitcoin. So let's recap. Bitcoin is about decentralization. It allows you to be free of the central bank that tinkers with monetary policy, leaving you victim to their whims. Bitcoin is breaking the monopoly on money, helping put money back under the control of those who it rightfully belongs to, the people, not the central bank. It allows you to be free from all those banking inconveniences, freeing you up to conduct transactions on a peer-to-peer basis. Someone who would have really loved Bitcoin was Thomas Jefferson. He was a massive critic of central banks back in the day. In fact, it caused him to issue a grave warning, one that rings true even in 2024. He said, quote, "If the American people ever allow the private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs." But that wasn't all Jefferson said. On another occasion, he said, quote, "I sincerely believe that banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies, and that the principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale." Tune in next Monday night for part two of Bitcoin for Broads, Blockchain and Mining. And don't forget to mark your calendars for July 25th to 27th. Ladies Love Politics will be attending the Bitcoin Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. Join me online as I cover the event, or grab a ticket and see for yourself the wonderful world of Bitcoin. Ladies Love Politics is a proud media partner of Bitcoin 2024.